Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the RSL Show. Andy Munoz here with you guys, and I'm joined by Alex Napolis and Joshua Clark. Yeah. We are here to talk about our favorite Major League Soccer club, the only soccer club in good away form. That's it, right? Doing some incredible things, but now showing up at home, kicking so much ass at America First Field, and we are here to talk about it. First off, how is everybody? Josh, dude, how was your 4th of July celebrations, dude? What did you get into?
Not a lot, you know, just ate some food, did some poppets and sparklers, and called it an early night.
Wild, bro.
Yeah, I'm crazy.
Yeah. Hopefully Alex Napolis is more interesting than that, dude. How was yours, bro? What did you do, Alex?
I hate to disappoint, but I really didn't do anything. I'd kind of just ate food and then watched TV.
Dang, dude. So no one watched fireworks? Like, nobody went to a view, watched fireworks, nothing?
Not really.
I honestly could care less about fireworks.
Dude, it was a sick show. So I'll tell you, you know, I went over to a buddy's house. They were doing like fireworks because I was supposed to go camping, and then camping was just a horrible idea because like there were no spots. I drove around for 5 hours, ended up burning my lip with an iron because I was trying to eat hot dogs out of a fire pit. Anyways, last minute detour to a buddy's house. They were doing fireworks. Then I took off on my motorcycle, rode around the valley, got to the top of a hill, and it was like a movie, dude. It was just like fireworks everywhere, motorcycles illuminated, my helmet's illuminating off the visor, dude. It was could bring a tear to your eye. It was the perfect way to segue into this beautiful moment with Real Salt Lake. And I know I just painted a picture for a lot of you guys, but it was gorgeous, man. Dude, I'm 34. I'm trying to live it up. I'm trying to have good memories. I could understand Alex because he's young. He'll have plenty of more 4th of July's. But Josh, dude, we got to get you off the sparkler game, bro.
No, I'm fine. I've had my time. I've made my bombs out of flowers. I've lit off thousands of firecrackers at a time. You know, I'm over it.
Yeah, dude. Firecrackers
would get me back out of the house.
Dude,
blow stuff up. I'm all about it.
You know those little like black cannonball looking ones?
Yeah.
They blow up like. Well, we used to take like electrical tape, and we would wire them shut, tape them shut.
Yeah, put a penny in there.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. Dude, were you looking to get, oh, my gosh, dude. Take some shrapnel, dude, and in your West Jordan neighborhood?
Well, you aim it, bro.
That's nuts, dude. No, that's not good. Okay, we were a little bit more mellow, dude. We used to tape those, and then we'd put them in, like, mailboxes, light them, and then just go, boom.
So you'd commit federal crimes instead of just blowing up coffee cans.
I'm saying my friends used to do this. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I just watched. Yeah.
Sure.
But you're putting pennies in there, dude. Like, you could have killed somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. So
listen, my stepdad at the time was a cop, you know, whatever they, you know, they're above the law at that point. So they did whatever they wanted.
Very cool.
And they taught me how to make bombs, essentially.
Okay. Well, who didn't bomb was Real Salt Lake.
Good segue. Wow.
Heck yeah, bro. We were, I can't remember predictions. I never remember predictions from previous episodes, but I know we were feeling pretty optimistic going into this one because we had just won. We were adding Cristian Arango, Chicho Arango, and things were, I mean, everything was in the cards for it, right? This was like a fireworks match. It's at home. People are electrified. But I don't know, dude. I tuned into that match not expecting much. Actually, I did expect. No, I can't say that because I said it would take Arango some time to warm up and get in line with like the other, you know, just basically finding that chemistry, find his footing. But he wasted no time. 23 minutes in.
Yeah, I mean, you had a horrible take, right? In fact, I remember when the game started, you texted us all and said, I hope Chicho doesn't score. So I just want everyone to know you're cynical. Wow. You just didn't want him to score because you didn't want us to be happy. It's fine. I get it.
Dang.
I just had to get that out there. I had to get that off my chest.
Mm-hmm. Why would I say that? That does not sound like me, dude.
I'll take screenshots. I'm not afraid.
All right. Let's kick it over to Alex Napolis. Alex, dude, you've been on the optimism train for a while, bro. We're always the negative Nellies. We're always pissed off. We're old. We're jaded. We've been around for way too long. We should probably just hang up the podcast, to be honest. But you're so positive, and you're posy vibes Napolis. So tell us, what were your thoughts going into this, dude? And thoughts going in, reaction to lineup, which super stacked lineup. And then tell us what you had felt when Chicho Arango erupted America First Field.
I mean, nah, man. I mean, you felt it walking in, right? There was a buzz in the air. There was something was at America First Field that on Saturday, and you could just feel it walking into the stadium. People were excited. People were happy. Even up in the press box, man, it was a different feeling. And obviously looking at the lineup, very, very excited, very happy to see Chicho Arango getting his first start on his debut. Pretty much, I think the best lineup RSL could have put out in that one. I don't think I would really made any changes to the starting 11. And Mastroianni and the coaching staff did it right. The starting 11 played really, really well. And then obviously when at 23rd minute, when Chicho Arango gets his header off the set piece, take it before that, actually, when the number 9 popped up onto the screen during the lineup videos, and the ovation that Chicho Arango got when just announcing his name in the starting lineup. Oh man, chills. I had chills running up and down. It was incredible. And it got even better 23rd minute when he scored that goal and the whole stadium just erupted. I don't think in my 15, 20 years going to the stadium, I don't think I've ever felt America First that electric, and it was just fantastic to see.
It hasn't been that way for me since the Champions League runs, right?
Yeah,
in 2013. Otherwise, maybe the Portland playoff game a few years ago under Petke. No, this was different because it was for a guy, right? Never heard an ovation like that before the game even started. That was unbelievable. But I think, everyone's excited about the guy, but no one can kind of glance over how well the team's performing and just adding that guy to them, right? So, like, overall, this is a unit, and this unit's destroying. And Chicho coming in just makes us that much better. I don't even know where we're weak on the field now outside of maybe Zach McMath's feet, right? Other than that, we're pretty stacked, and it's an incredible turn of events for RSL.
Yeah, just want to highlight that this was the 9th highest attended home match in club history. Now, fireworks might do a play on that, but I really do feel like the vast majority for sure was there for Chicho. Like you said, Alex, you could feel it. For me, watching it on TV, covering the game essentially for MLS, you could hear the Chicho chants, and you could just, it was like a overall different vibe, right? Like, even the league was kind of hyping this game up too, which is something that we don't tend to see. And a lot of people kind of pointing out that, it's a new era of a fandom for like Real Salt Lake, meaning, younger kids, they're going to feel the hype behind Chicho. And I think Chicho is actually a really good role model to have. Something interesting that Pablo had said about him was that in training consistently, he's bagging like 5 to 6 goals. He makes everybody around him better. And he's just never seen a player with like that much hustle, that much dedication to the plays, to get to the ball, to, if they lose a ball, he's hustling back, trying to do everything that he can get it, or trying to do everything in his power to get the ball back. And we saw glimpses and highlights of that in the game, which was like super refreshing and awesome to see from a player like that. And I mean, I hate to say it, he was with one of the best clubs in the league. He was with LAFC, won a championship. Like, this guy knows what it takes, and I'm with you guys. He's got the presence. He's got the look of a superstar. The dude will be on an all-star roster next year for sure. I'm sure of it if he stays on a scoring pace. But man, 23 minutes with a club that you've trained with a handful of times, your debut, ridiculous.
Couldn't go any better, right?
And to be the first goal too. I mean, you set the stage, and like you set the emotion, and you deliver on the hype, and I think that just fired up the crowd, and then that obviously fired up everybody else, because that was some of the best soccer I've seen played from Real Salt Lake
ever. Right?
Yeah.
Like, let's be real, ever.
Gone are the days of just playing it out of the back, flipping it over to a wing, crossing it, right? I mean, we're seeing the ball being delivered and played in through the middle. You've got Diego Luna, who is confident, who also, I love it, dude, because you can see Diego Luna is just looking up, and it's so apparent that he's looking for Chicho Arango every single time. So it's just a beautiful thing, man. It's like you're taking all of this. It's crazy, bro. Like, I just can't imagine. It's weird, man. Like, adding someone like that to the roster, who would have thought it? I feel like people have been asking for this for a while. Look what happens when you add. Look what happens when you add this kind of caliber player with this much hype. Look what it does, not only to your fans, not only to the club, but also to the damn media, dude. Like, the people who have been the most negative online are literally like praising this team like overnight. It's ridiculous.
I think Pablo Ruiz said it best in the post-match presser. This is a team who's been in form for the last month and a half, right? Undefeated in eight across all competitions. And you're just adding a piece like Chicho Arango, who's a killer in front of the goal. You're just adding that to a team that's already in really good form. And we saw that come out on Saturday. Arsenal played a fantastic game. There was a little bit of a shaky moments of a couple first 5 minutes into it when Orlando had some good chances. But other than that, like, Russell like really grew into the game, really played a complete match. And you got to give credit to not only Chicho, obviously, for getting the first goal, but to Pablo Ruiz for getting the three assists in this one.
Yeah. And we'll hop into all of that. One thing that I do want to say, dude, is the camera would pan over to the bench, dude, of Real Salt Lake. And that was like the first time where I was like, dude, we've got a stacked little bench. Mm-hmm. We got players behind players who can play the positions. And it was nice. Obviously, there's still some questions as to like what might happen to some pieces where we're obviously a little maybe overstocked on. But I mean, it's just it panned to the bench, and I'm just trying to remember like who was on the bench. I remember my first thought was like, dude, we actually have stacked, like we're stacked in talent right now. We can sub somebody off and it probably wouldn't make much of a difference. So, Chicho Arango, do we want to kind of replay through the first goal? Do we want to give him praise on his positioning, his attacking? One thing that I kind of noticed is that on those corner kicks, he's standing directly behind Justin Glad and he's putting his hands on his hips. And I don't know if he's just kind of using Justin as like leverage or if he's trying to maybe create some space, fool the defender, doesn't know which way you're going. What's your guys' take on that? I mean, I'm sure people do it around the league, but that was actually something that I saw that I was kind of a little curious on. What's your guys' take?
Yeah, it's D all the above, right? Everything you mentioned, that's what he was doing. And it's smart, right? It throws off the defender, especially if they're man marking. So it's good to see.
Yeah, it's a set piece worked to perfection. All right. They obviously worked on that in the training ground and they worked it really, really well. And I think in both goals, Chicho Arango had a wide open opportunity. That first one, obviously, he runs in, gets the header on it. But the second one, Justin Glad beats him out to it a little bit. But I think if Glad didn't adjust to it, Chicho Arango is still right there ready to collect that ball. And so it's just something worked to perfection. Right. It's something that they worked on in the training ground. They did it right in the game.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're looking good, and I've got like a wooden desk here and I'm just going to like knock on it a little bit.
Same.
You know, a big fundamental piece of this was Pablo Ruiz, who Chicho Arango was, you know, giving plenty of praise to prior to actually even like training with us and obviously playing. Also saw some comments just around Twitter where they were giving Pablo Ruiz praise, just for like the caliber, like the level caliber of passing player that he is. People saying that, hey, there's no other players in the league who are finding passes or delivering passes like Pablo Ruiz. And I just am curious, do you guys feel the same way?
Absolutely. I saw a tweet yesterday on Sunday, I believe, where it said that Pablo Ruiz quickly went from an overrated player to an underrated player. And I have to agree. And we're kind of seeing earlier at the beginning of last season, we saw Pablo Ruiz take a big step in kind of that deep role playmaking position that he plays in now. And then he kind of fell off a little bit. And now this season started off a little bit rough, but now we're seeing that again. And it just kind of, I'm not saying it's just obviously just Ruiz, but it really, really makes a difference when Pablo Ruiz is making those passes, finding those opportunities, creating that attack and playing that deep lying playmaking role. And it's making all the world a difference in the attack for RSL.
So here's a crazy stat that I'm looking at. And this is from KSL Sports. If you guys there's no paywall on KSL Sports for in content, especially on Real Salt Lake. So by default, it's my favorite. But this is coming from, let's see, who's the writer on this one? Chandler Holt, one of the dudes over there. So it says, Arango will join a squad that is trending up and recently entered into the top 10 of MLS power rankings. We know that, but RSL's last loss came in a 3-2 result against the LA Galaxy on May 31st. Since then, the club has posted 5 victories, 4 in MLS and 1 against the Galaxy in US Open Cup action. RSL also earned 2 points via a pair of draws in that time span. So RSL currently 8-6-7 record this season. Did you guys anticipate this? Did you guys see this coming from a mile away? Because I sure as hell did not.
Are we talking the win or us being on a streak?
I would say the streak.
Definitely.
In relation to like where we are now and the positivity from everybody.
Nope.
It's crazy.
Well, I mean, look at the beginning of the year when we were at a 4-game losing streak, 2 by a score of 4-0. And compare it to where we are now.
Well, even just go back to the LA, you know, loss at home, coming back and then conceding, coming back and seeing, like, that game was extremely frustrating for everyone involved, right? Because we kind of seemed to be trending upward, and then we just had another stinker at home. And I feel like that was kind of the one that broke the back, right? It made everyone kind of go, okay, we need to figure this out, and figure it out they did. I mean, even thinking back to the Las Vegas Lights Open Cup game, I mean, that was ugly. It was not great. So to compare this team to that team is, I mean, if we were to play Las Vegas today, the game's 15-0. You know what I mean? Like, it's an entirely different squad, entirely different play style. The confidence is through the roof.
Yeah. And another note to add, Pablo Ruiz was on El Show RSL earlier today, and there's a quote coming out of him. You know, my personal desire is to win a championship with Real Salt Lake. We are a strong group, a very united group, and we're going to fight hard in every competition we face. So, yeah, man, like just to kind of add to like what you just said, Josh, we're seeing just that what Pablo just said, Ruiz. United group, just a strong united group, right? And
right.
It just does something. I mean, it like 10x's it when you add somebody like Chicho Arango, dude. Like,
well,
it's insane.
Not only that, but like, you know, players and teams and coaches and front offices and GMs, whatever, they can say those words all they want. Question is, do you believe them? And right now I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then also, I mean, take it back to kind of the media days at the beginning of the season where the goal for most of these players was just to get a home playoff game.
Right.
And now you have this run. Now you have, you're adding really good pieces to this team who's already in good form. And now you got players like Pablo Ruiz, who's been here forever, saying, hey, we're feeling special this year. mm-hmm. Something's gonna come to Rouse Lake, and I couldn't agree more. This is a special team, and we're seeing it on the field. We're seeing it with the incorporations, and we're seeing it now in the confidence as players coming out in medias and in interviews and stuff and saying, hey, this is, we want to win a championship, and we believe we can win that championship.
Yeah, with the form we're in now, it would be a real crime if we don't at least get to an Open Cup final. We don't at least make some noise and beat Monterey in League's Cup, right? We don't at least get a home playoff game. Those are kind of the bar now. Right, with how we're playing, if we're to take a nosedive, any kind of serious nosedive, right, we're going to lose a game here and there. That's just the way soccer is. But you know, if we go 3-4 winless streak, that's going to scare everyone, right? So I don't think that'll happen. I think this group is primed and ready.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've covered this team for so long, Josh and Alex. Congrats on your 1 year a little while ago, by the way, Alex. Nice work. Josh, we've been covering this, dude. Like, how many times have we heard from the group, dude, from like the people on like the club actually say that they want to go and win a championship?
I mean, athletes, it'll be said. Yeah, it's said, but like not the way they're saying it. They're not with their whole chest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Right?
You can feel when they truly believe that.
Yeah. It's much different. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We've been covering it for so long, but that's what's different about this time. Like, just like you said, like they're saying it with their chest. They're saying it with a belief. They're saying it like, hey, we are contenders and other teams better watch out, which I love. Like, I love that. And that's always been a factor that we've been missing. Whether it's from the players, because you could just observe that the players are just down. It's always been something that we've been lacking, even with coaching and sometimes even with ownership. I mean, dude, Real Salt Lake was owned by Deloitte Hansen, who literally was almost on record just kind of like, who cares if we win a championship? We just want to be like profitable, right? We just want to fill seats. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that has shifted. And that's the kind of drive and determination and attack that you want to see from your club, because otherwise it's boring. And, you know, we got a lot of criticism in the beginning of the season saying that it was so hard to cover this team, because it was. It was very boring, and it was very dull, and it was uninspiring. But look, you just make a chess move and look how different things are. Look how fast things turn around. Look how fast the media favors you. Look how fast you get butts in seats. Look how fast you're selling concessions. Look how fast you're selling jerseys. Look how fast people are actually ready to tune in on away matches. Make more moves like these so that this keeps up. Even like the social media game on Real Salt Lake is getting better.
Right.
Like, they're able to actually have fun without pissing off the fan base because the product on the field is good. They're not having to like dig out bad content to make up for the fact that they're bad. Like, exactly. When your team is good and you're scoring goals,
you can get away with anything.
Yeah, we get goals of highlights, or like we get highlights of goals rather than like, hey, what's your favorite toothpaste on a Friday night, right?
Right.
So to point this out, I'm very passionate about all of this stuff. You know, I love Real Salt Lake. Okay, what can I say? Just like everybody else. Pablo Ruiz, real quick. Makes team of the match day. He's up there in the starting 11. Honorable mention to Justin Glad, RSL. I really feel like he should have been in the starting 11 versus the bench on this graphic. The dude is on fire. He's scoring goals, bro. Like, people are taking to Twitter and saying, like, hey, aside from Chicho Arango, like, Justin Glad's our number one goal scorer right now. And you can't argue that. So let's talk about that a little bit, and that'll be perfect, because Justin Glad makes a run into the box, basically blocks Chicho Arango, but his header goes in the back of the net, falls to the floor. Chicho Arango picks him up. It's a great wholesome moment, great celebration. What do we think about Justin Glad, man? Did we see this in the cards for Justin Glad?
I mean, he said he wanted it, right? So they're backing up what they're saying they want. Yeah, I was going to bring up the Arango thing in the celebration. I thought that was really telling to the kind of person he is and the kind of bonding that team's already made with Chicho. I think that was a very important moment. right? It's easy to score with or celebrate with him after he scores, but for him to be the first one to Justin and have that much joy on his face while he's picking him up, like, that is a good sign, right? Love that. Love everything about it. As far as the, you know, Justin Glad scoring goals, it's extremely refreshing to have another goal scoring center back, right? There was a time when Olave and Borchers were banging him in like crazy. Even Schuler had some good runs. But since then, our center backs haven't really been goal scoring threats. So him putting him away, that's big, because that makes you dangerous all around the field. I would love to see Vera and Anelli and maybe Marcelo bag one or two as well. But him, you know, getting what, 4 goals now this year, that's quite impressive for a center back. And I think he can at least get to 6 by the end of the year.
Before Alex goes, real quick, Alex, hang on to your thought, dude. Don't forget it, okay? Because I want to hear what you have to say. Dude, Justin Glad, like, think of what his percentage is, right? Like, versus a forward who's taking all these opportunities, has more attempts on goal. Like, you'd have to think that Justin Glad's attempts on goals, like, to goals made, his percentage is probably like 70% or something stupid like that. With the amount of, like, shots, quote unquote, or on target that he puts out. And when he misses, dude, it's not by much, dude. If you guys notice, when he gets like a header and it just goes a little bit wide. So he's like, he's always almost on target. And you're right, Josh. Like, we haven't seen that since the Borchers and Olave days. You can only just kind of hope that that starts rubbing off on the other defenders, right? But anyways, Alex, over to you, dude. What were you thinking, man? Tell me all your beautiful thoughts about Justin Glad.
Yeah, you pretty much took what I was thinking, because you're right. He's a guy who, no matter what the set piece is, no matter what the opportunity is, even when you're down a goal trying to claw back into it, Justin Glad some way, somehow, always finds a way to put himself in dangerous opportunities and good opportunities to have that chance to score that goal. Time and time again, we see him hit the post, just barely go over. He's had a really good handful of chances that he's just barely missed. And even then, like, we can really count on him to come up on set pieces and just kind of find the back of the net when we really need him to. And I think that's super, super vital, especially on set pieces, especially for a team who's struggled with set pieces in the past.
Yeah. Go ahead. What I was going to say, man, it's Justin Glad's, like, he's going through this transition where, like, if he keeps this trajectory up, dude, he's going to be up there with, like, the Beckermans, the Raimondos, the Borchers. Might be too premature to say that right now, but I feel like that's where he's on. Like, that's his next stop. You know what I mean? Like,
I think if he can deliver a title and a couple more years, obviously, but if he can deliver a title, he could easily jump Borchers, right? Baby Borchers could take Daddy Borchers' spot on the list.
Dude, you remember seeing Justin Glad, dude, like, when he would, like, debut and play his first couple games? Like, he looked like
Bambi, a string bean.
He looked like Bambi, dude. Like, he was out there, his legs were wobbly, like, could barely stand up, you know? And it's crazy to think, like, how far he's come, dude.
It's really cool to see. That's one of the best parts of a homegrown player for me, is just kind of watching their career develop and grow and, you know, get to where he's at now.
Cool.
Very cool.
Fans were upset that they didn't get the old man dance celebration from Justin, which I agree. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
The bobblehead has him doing it. It's great.
Yeah, dude.
Anyways, we need a Chicho bobblehead now. Let's go.
Anyways, so those two goals happened before the first half. Real quick, guys. Diego Luna standing out, man.
Bruh.
I'm speechless, dude. The guy is just, he's just grown into that position. He's like, not say grown into that position, that's his position, but he's just, you know what I mean? Like,
he's made himself a very important member of the squad.
There you go. Thank you. Yep. Took the words out of my mouth. I see it. I think you guys see it. And for as young as he is, man, that's just showing so much promise in what we could achieve. And I'm just hoping that we secure him if his stock continues to rise. I mean, I know it's too early to talk about that, but I love what I'm seeing out of him, dude. Great hold up player, fast decisions. Like Alex kind of said, you know, there might be some turnovers here and there, but more often than not, he's a real creative piece, and just fun to watch. Fun to watch him just deliver passes and full defender. So what do you guys think?
Yeah, he's taken the club from, you know, basically playing to the wings and crossing it in, right? He's an important cog to the getting away from that and variating our attack. If you watch him, he'll either find the quick pass to find space, he'll you know, dribble a player, he'll make room himself, and he'll go, you know, go to the box, he'll go to the middle, he'll switch sides, he'll go anywhere. So he's a wild card. Even though he's playing on the wing, he's a wild card, and that's hard to defend. I think, you know, his trajectory is sky high right now. I think the U20 World Cup really helped his confidence. I know even before he left, there was all this talk of he doesn't train hard, blah, blah, blah. Always ignore that junk. Because he's come back and made that starting spot his. I think if he can bag some goals and some assists, that dude's value is going to skyrocket from what we paid for him. And he might be the first guy we cash in on, right? We've never really cashed in on a guy. He could be that guy.
If it comes down to it, what would you like to see, Josh? Would you like to see him develop here longer and be a integral key piece for Real Salt Lake? Or would you rather see money and see it spent on somebody who could maybe keep that? Or like fill a spot.
I'd like him to stay, you know, a whole season, maybe two, and then be sold. Yeah.
Alex, you got same something with, to
same
add,
with
bro?
Gomez. It's the same with Gomez, same with Anelli. If you have any of these young guys, 2 years, get their values get high, sell them, start over.
Yeah.
So spend guys, get that money.
If you guys are on for anybody with YouTube, since we're highlighting Diego Luna real quick, if you go watch the Real Salt Lake versus Orlando City SC highlights at the 3 minute marker, let's see. I just want to kind of walk you through this. There's a ball played from Pablo to Diego, who flicks it, who it looks like Savarino, then puts it back to Diego's feet, and he takes a touch he strikes it, and it's just wide of the post, just right. And it's like a beautiful, like, turn play, gets the defender off him, and then he just strikes the hell out of it and just barely misses. It's just such a beautiful highlight, dude. Like, that's going on a reel, you know, even though you miss, stuff like that's going on a reel because you guys have to go up back and watch the setup play. Pablo Ruiz to Diego. Diego flick to Savarino. Savarino one-touch pass to Diego. Diego pretends to do a turn, turns back around, hits it with his right. It's just beautiful, dude. I'd love to keep a player like that here. I don't think the grass is greener on the other side. I mean, sometimes, yeah, you can spend a lot of money and get a key replacement, but I see a lot of promise in this dude.
Yeah, you just have to remember the young guys have visions of playing in Europe and dreams of grandeur. So you want them to go experience that if they can.
Stay here. No, I'm going to kill his dreams, dude. Who was the club that just killed that dude's dreams that it was like one of like the Canadian, like what, closer to the Canadian teams.
Oh, the Montreal or Toronto picking up that guy from Atlanta, Ibarra.
I think so. Like he had or they just like kill the opportunity for him to like go somewhere. And they're no, you're going to stick around here at the club.
You're talking to Cincinnati, Brandon Vasquez.
That's it. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Did you hear about that, Alex?
I have not. No, I missed that one.
He got offers from Europe. Cincinnati said no. I get it, right? You're leading the Supporters Shield race. He's an integral part. You're going to keep him till the season's over. Then hopefully they let him go.
Then I don't think you can sell Brenner and Brandon Vasquez in the same season. You know, they already sold Brenner.
Two of your best players.
Yeah, you already sold Brenner to Udinese. Maybe hold off on Brandon Vasquez a little bit.
Yeah, so let me
get through playoffs. Season's almost over.
So here's the headline. So Brandon Vasquez has informed FC Cincinnati of his desire to leave, but he's been told by the club that he won't be sold this summer. And the club interested was Everton, was one of the bigger names out of that club. So, there was plenty to say. I mean, that was a topic on Twitter for a while, was just kind of, you know, MLS hindering the development of these players who can go out and, you know, grow their careers. But I don't know. I think you're probably going to start to see more of that as this league tries to make a name for itself and kind of retain players, or at least help their clubs, you know, stay above that playoff line. So you can't really blame them sometimes, but outside looking in, like, damn, dude, that's an opportunity to, like, that's hard, man, because they may not come back. Like, they might just be turned off. Like, your club can be in the way of your development, but so is life.
Or, you know, you get injured, your career's over. Stuff like that could happen, you know?
Yeah. While we're on the topic of MLS, before we break down the second half, The Athletic reporting that Lionel Messi, there's going to be a, unveiling a program happening on the 16th, Sunday. So it'll be on season pass. All I'm going to say is I'm scheduled to work that day. I'm typically not. So if you have season pass, might be worth checking out to see if there's any major league soccer content. That's going to be a cool day. And I'm really excited for that day too. Cool. All right. Moving on. Our boys. Now I know there was there were two offside goals in this one, and I'm trying to think at what minute marker. Do we remember when the first one happened?
70th-ish.
Is that like the sequential? Do we even want to cover that offsides, or was it just so blatant?
I mean, Demir's was very offside. Moose's was fairly offside. I don't think we need to talk about him. Really, the only thing we need to talk about is the fact that we technically scored 6 goals, right? We were putting enough pressure on their goal to bag 6, essentially. Yeah. Even though 2 of them were offside.
I don't feel like the offsides were off by that much.
Demir's was very off, and Moose was off by maybe a foot.
Okay.
And credit to Orlando's backline for stepping up and getting him onto that offside trap in the first place, though.
Offside trap action. All right, well, we move on to the second half. By this time, everyone's just really happy that we're up 2-0. I kind of want to go back to that moment for you guys. Going up 2-0, just like with the style of play, what we're seeing on the field, were you guys confident that this would end in a winning result, or did you guys think that Orlando might come back and draw?
I think it got to the point where, I mean, even coming out in the second half, I wanted to hold my judgments until I saw how Rosslake came out into playing that second half. And just seeing them keep their foot on the gas, keep attacking, keep finding those opportunities, and keep playing really, really good soccer, really fun soccer to watch. I knew we were going to walk out with the 3 points, whether, you know, I think I even told Josh in the press box, I was like, yeah, you know, at this point, like, let's just hold on to that clean sheet. I'll be happy with the 2-0, just hold on to the clean sheet. And then all of a sudden, Savarino decides to hit a filthy volley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From a pretty ridiculous angle too.
Absolutely.
Yep. Exactly. And was it, who played the ball into him on that cross? Was it Oviedo?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Oviedo coming up the left wing, just crosses it in. So Savarino just posts up, dude. Beautiful touch off the chest, right? Just settles the ball. And then just on the volley as the ball's going down, dude, just bags it to the right corner, bottom right corner. And we all get the beautiful classic Savarino celebration, points up to the sky, right? Dude, just world class, man. Just like good touch, good strike. To have that just patience to bring the ball in inside of like traffic, I guess. Like, I mean, there's defenders, there's a goalkeeper in front of you. To be calm and just bring it down still like that, I mean, that's right there. You're earning your paycheck, no?
Mm.
Yeah. You're earning your paycheck.
Fantastic skill.
Yeah. So just good, man. I know he's the 10, dude. I don't know. Do you guys feel like he's the 10? I don't think he is.
Playing the 10 role or like just
the shirt 10?
Just the shirt 10.
The shirt 10? I liked him better at 7.
Same, actually.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
Maybe that's just the nostalgia in us.
We know. We also know, though, too, man, like, the 10 just got handed around for God's sakes, dude. Like, remember when it was given to Plata, dude, for a while?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love
Corey Baird. Oh,
who's been our best 10? Like, number 10 shirt-wise. Not
that'd be a good poll. That'd be a good question on Twitter. I'm thinking, dude.
Robbie Finley is probably the answer.
Yeah. He had that.
Until Sava now, of course, but.
Yeah. It's a tough. Anyways, yeah.
We'll do that poll later because I'm curious.
Yeah. I'm traditional like that, man. Like, I like to see the 10 on, like, the best player. Obviously, you would hope that your attacking players are the best players, right? Like, you don't give a 10 to a defender, obviously.
You know, the goalkeeper.
Yeah. Hey, bro, Nick Raimondo could have worn a 10, dude, back in the day. I would have supported it. Let's see. So Savarino takes the third goal, 78th minute. By that time, I think that's just game, dude. Like, it's late. You can feel Orlando's, like, feet's just kind of getting heavy. There's really no other opportunities coming. And if we move on forward to the fourth goal, Anderson Julio bags one, 88th minute. Good for him, dude. I'm a big fan of Anderson Julio. I think he's got good work ethic, and I think he's also a key part in this squad. So it's good to see basically everybody. I mean, like, nobody got a brace this match, right? No one sure as hell got a hat trick. And it's coming pretty, like, evenly distributed. I know Arango got pulled off, obviously, later in the game. And that's also to say something, too, man. Like, you know, I know we criticize Pablo Mastroini a lot, but when you have a stacked bench like that, like I alluded to earlier, you can do stuff like that, and it's not going to bite you in the butt. I mean, we still played great defense, and then there was two goals at the back end of this match, which is phenomenal.
And I think Anderson Julio's best performances are off the bench, right? And I think adding Arango and having guys like Mufsovsky, Demir in good form, it allows you that opportunity to have Anderson kind of step back into that super sub role. Gets the winning goal in Toronto, and now he gets the kind of the icing on the cake here against Orlando. And it's just good. It's good for Julio to not only get that confidence, but to also kind of see him back into that super sub role that we knew him for in 2021.
Let's rewind a little bit because we skipped over this. Imagine for a moment what that stadium would have done.
Oh, yeah.
Chicho scores this bicycle kick he tried to pull off.
Pandemonium is the only word that I can think that would happen. That would describe what would happen.
Pitch invaders, everything. It would have happened.
Pandemonium.
Just call the match right then and there, right?
Yeah, I think I would have packed up and gone home. Like, I've seen enough. I can't handle anymore. There's joy.
We're winning a championship. That's it. That's our championship, right? If we don't win the cup. No, dude, it's like it's like I've said before, man. This guy, like, he is the dude. He is the guy. Like, he is him, as the young kids would say. Confidence, just presence. Dude knows he's a star. He knows he's carrying the team, in essence, a little bit. To have the confidence to do that, man, and I mean, and you know the fans are backing you up, bro. If you miss that bad, because let's face it, it was a pretty bad and horrible. It was pretty bad. But still, to get excited over that, I got excited, dude. I jumped out of my seat at home.
Oh, every single person in the press area was flying out of their seat.
Yeah,
it was already unreal.
Yeah. So we just have we got something special. And, I ran into Ruben Santos, Josh, over at Shields. I said, what's up to the homie, found out that he's 21 years old, which is crazy. He's super young. So he's been listening to us since he was like 16. So shout out Ruben, but, dude, he said he was there, and the way that the crowd erupted, and even we're doing like Chicho chance after the bicycle kick, man, like you would have thought he scored it, you know. But that's what we lack. Like, that's something that we haven't seen. Granted, we can't discredit Rubio Rubin's bicycle kick that actually went in, but still, this is just on a way different level.
Again, it just goes back to the confidence. He's showing his confidence and just spreading it, right? It's contagious. That's the word I was looking for.
Contagious. Alex, what'd you think, bro? Are you going to, dude, actually after that, right after that happened, even though he missed and it was bad, I appreciated the effort so much. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a Chicho kit. Like, I'm just going to, dude, like, same. Just for trying, like, thanks, dude. I appreciate that. You know what I mean? That's how bad it's been, dude. It's like, we finally have a attacker who took us on a first date and like opened the door for us and then pulled the chair out for us, you know? And we're like, oh my God, we can marry this dude. You know what I mean?
He's showing us how to be our best us's, our best selves.
Yeah.
He's taking these little shy guys and showing them what they could be all along if they're just confident.
If you're just happy, right? Like, dude, we've just been all so mad for like the last decade. And
literally,
a dude just attempts a bicycle kick and gives us some hope and we explode. Anyways, I hope this is a trend, man, in signings and in the kind of fish that we can like reel in, right? Too often we're fishing and we settle for the little baby fish. This time, dude, we kept the reel in there and we pulled out that huge old bass, bro, that you're just so happy to take a photo with.
Or in the case of like an Ortuño, we just took whatever fish had died when someone took the hook out of its mouth and was laying on the shoreline.
Like, this is going to be great. Yeah. So Alex actually did some research here while we've been chatting about broken relationships and fishing. He sent us the names of some prominent number 10s. And let's just take a little vote. I don't know if these are all of them, but we'll take a little vote and we'll just say which one we think is the best out of this list. To wear the number 10 in a Real Salt Lake Clarendon Cobalt kit. All right, first. Well, and these are not in order. But we have Robbie Finley, Arturo Alvarez, Luis Gill. It's a name I haven't seen in a minute. Jao Plata. Corey Baird. Oh my gosh. Yoni. Okay. Jonathan Yoni. Clint Mathis. And Bellucci.
Has to be Bellucci, right?
He did get us Beckerman, so maybe.
What is that? Let's vote. You guys,
I'm torn between Clint Mathis and Robbie Finley, both here at very important times. When did Clint Mathis wear it? Was this before 84? So this is when he first got here.
So I think according to this, he wore it when he first got here. And then he switched once Bellucci arrived in 06.
Okay, so I'm going to go Robbie Finley then, because Clint Mathis is wearing 84 and 09. Robbie Finley for me.
I would have to agree. Just because I think before Sabo, right, he was the goal scorer for RSL.
What a crappy list, dude.
It really is not impressive. At all.
Like if I was just to even try and be a contrarian and just be like, no, it's not Robbie Finley. Like
you can't
do like what Luis Gill. Nope.
A lot of these guys only had it for a season, right? Yeah. Corey Baird only had it for a season. Joni half a season. Jao didn't even have it that long. He was 8 for most of his career here. So
poor guys, man. Imagine just like, hey, you're the new 10. And you're like, okay. I mean, it's cool.
Is the 10 cursed for us?
Well, no, because Sawa has it now.
Right, but let's say he dips before the summer's over. Yeah. Is it cursed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is funny because like, that's kind of like the likelihood, you know? Like we've heard rumblings and stuff, dude. It's a lot of pressure, man. And if you don't deliver on that, it's tough. You're going to be judged. We just judged everybody on this list. Corey Baird, bro, wearing the 10. Come the hell on, dude. Like, whose decision? I want to talk to the person who said, yeah, let's give him the 10.
I got him traded, so.
Horrible, dude. I could see Yoni. I could see Menendez. Like, you know, we were very excited for him. Sucks that things didn't pan out. But, like, yeah, like that kind of caliber player. Like, yeah, give him the 10. You know, he'll live up to it. But Corey Baird, bro? Like, nothing of... No offense. I'm glad he's doing great in Dynamo after playing at LAFC for a quarter season, all that good stuff. Anyways. All right. Thanks for listening to the RSL show. Is there anything else we want to cover? Do we want to talk about the tweets from the RSL fans? If I left anything out, now is your guys' time to speak up.
I think we just got to talk about how much we hate Kansas City on Wednesday.
Yeah, we got to talk about KC and probably Red Bulls because we probably won't be back before then.
Yeah, what do you think about SKC? I'm a little nervous. I'm nervous that our rival,
who said this,
who sucks, is gonna like knock us off our high horse for a minute.
Hey, who talked about this literally like 2 to 3 episodes ago?
Last episode.
Was it last episode?
It was last episode.
Who said?
I'm still nervous. Okay.
Who said SKC, bro? I literally, dude. I'm telling you, man. SKC is heating up, bro. Alan Pulido scoring goals. I don't care if they're coming from the penalty spot. The dudes are scoring goals. They're winning matches. They're starting to find their form. And I think Josh, you're onto it, bro. It's a rival who's, you know, ready to knock you off your high horse, just like you said. But I have a feeling that it's going to happen, dude. I have a feeling that in some way, shape, or another, SKC is just going to give us a wake-up call. Hopefully, it's just earlier in the season than it is like a late Western Conference final or something like that, right?
No, I think we'll go in and get a draw. I think it'll be a 2-2, 3-3 kind of game.
I'm kind of leaning towards the same, just because, yes, they're scoring goals right now and they look a lot better than they did at the beginning of the year. But I think the biggest issue that Kansas had is they can't hold a lead. They're not figuring out ways to close out games. They're not figuring out ways to hold that lead. They had the lead twice in this game against Houston. They couldn't hold on to the lead twice against Houston. It's a 2-2 draw. I'm going to go somewhere in that nature. Either RSL takes advantage of them not being able to hold that lead, or we walk out of there with a draw.
When do we? When is the Johnny Russell goal coming? Because we do know there's always one in them for him against RSL.
37th minute.
Yeah. Set piece header.
No, it'll probably be like a cross over the top, like from a run on the wing, like counterattack style, and then he'll just kind of knock it in uncontested.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I feel like it'll be like a set piece header. Let's talk about their last few results, because I think what Alex just said is pretty interesting about SKC. So if we just go back, let's go back like the last three matches. I think that gives us like a pretty good idea of what these clubs are up to. We'll go back four. So June 21st, LA Galaxy, SKC 2-2. And then they go to June 24th, just 3 days later, they lose 1-0 against Chicago Fire. And then July 1st, they heat up. They kind of find their form again, 3-0 over Vancouver. And then, like you just mentioned, 2-2 draw with Houston. So, yeah, I mean, we're up next, July 12th, Wednesday match. You would just hope that we just keep this shape at like the informed shape at home. And it sounds like, well, were there anyone being listed on the injury report, or anybody looks like they're going to be like left off the roster at all?
For us or KC?
For us.
No, so I would expect a little bit of rotation, but no big new injuries.
Yep.
Positive. Huge, huge positive. I feel good about this one, man. It is a way. And
yeah, that's our strong suit right now. And we now have Chicho. I could see Palacio getting involved. So,
oof. It's, gonna be fun, man. Are we ready for that? Alex, you're smiling, dude, ear to ear.
You know what I'm ready for? I'm ready for Paulo Ruiz to take the next step in his RSL lore and spots in our hearts by just getting in Roger Espinoza's head. That's what I'm hoping to see.
Alex, he comes on to El Show RSL enough, bro. You could just tell him to get into his head.
Oh, I'll let him know.
Yeah, I saw him walking around Daybreak yesterday. He had a little bucket hat, dude, and he was like walking with his wife and his child. I almost wanted to like yell out of my window and say what's up or just yell a vamos, but I was like, nah, that's kind of cringe. So I just let him enjoy his day. Yeah, I think there's a win in this one for Real Salt Lake, man. Honestly, win probability right now, just off, it's not even like gambling stats, but just from Major League Soccer, Sporting KC, win probability 50% over Real Salt Lake 25%. And then they split the 25% on a draw. So MLS, I don't know where they're pulling or predicting these from, but, looks like, yeah, they're kind of favoring SKC to win, which I think it's off. I think they won't, but right now, man, you're kind of seeing like that star factor from Alan Pulido, where it just seems like he's getting awarded PKs like left and right. So I think we got to be smart in the box. No grabbing onto shoulders. You know what I mean? Like no clipping boots. You got to be really careful because I think if anyone goes down in the box there, especially if it's Pulido, he's going to get awarded the PK every single time. And I'll even just go as far to say that I think Pulido will have a PK in this match.
I mean, if that's what he needs to do to get goals.
Hey, yeah. You would take it. You'd take it. If there
I
was,
would.
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah. Yeah. If you had a goal scorer, bro, who was like averaging at one PK a game since they came back, you'd take that all day.
I mean, Demir's golden boot run. A lot of those are PKs, right? So,
yeah. Cool. So that's the preview, SKC versus Real Salt Lake. And I think you guys said that you guys want to jump ahead to Saturday and also preview the Red Bulls. Is that right?
Yeah, we can.
We could do a show before the Red Bulls. What do you guys think? You guys want to do a show before the Red Bulls, or should we?
I'm down. Let's do one, because we'll talk about Kansas City and in a little more detail.
Tag it up.
You know I'm always down to jump on here.
Very cool. Well, guys, everybody throw positive vibes to Alex Napolis. We're not going to say why. We'll just say he's healthy. He's great, but he's got something happening tomorrow morning or today, if you're listening to this on July 11th. Really big opportunity, and I'm just going to say, bro, RSL show, man, just bringing you all these great opportunities, dude. Capitalize on them, bro. If you don't, dude, if you remember our first conversation, I said, bro, I don't know when I can make this lucrative for you, but if you want to get into sports and blah, 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 we're here for it. We'll give you all the contacts in the world. So, again, positive vibes to our boy Alex Napolis. Tweet at him. Alex Napolis, just say good luck. You got this. Before when? 11 a.m.?
Yeah, 11 a.m.
Before 11 a.m., guys. All right? It's huge, huge, huge stuff.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Cool. All right, guys. We'll wrap it up. RSL Show at RSL Show. Follow us on all the socials. Also, follow us on YouTube. We post up our sideline field highlights that junior producer Isaac Munoz films. So they're on there. So go interact, go hang out with that community. We love you guys. And thanks for tuning in to the best RSL podcast on this side of Wendover. Take it easy.